Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Blue Noise, the Birmingham City podcast brought to you from us here at Birmingham Live. My name is Brian Dick, the Birmingham City writer, and none of you will need reminding that Blues are one part of a five-team championship nerve shredder this weekend as the season reaches an altogether too dramatic conclusion. Blues missed out on the chance to secure their second-tier status at Queen's Park Rangers last Saturday. A 3-1 defeat jeopardising their second-tier status for at least another week and hopefully not decisively. They placed Fulham at home on Sunday knowing a win against a form team in the division would do the job. However, should they slip up again, there are a host of clubs looking to snatch their place in the lifeboat. Reading, Barnsley, Burton and Bolton join Blues in the gripping finale. We take a look at the form lines and the worry lines that are developing across the five clubs, and we hear from reporters at each of Blues' relegation rivals. First up are Reading, who are 50-1 outsiders to go down. They're just above Blues at the moment, but who are battling with the psychological scars of Saturday's 4-0 drubbing by Ipswich. First, we hear from Jonathan Lowe at Get Reading. Thanks for joining me, Jonathan. Can you just run me through the Ipswich game last Saturday? Because I understand Reading were 0-0 with 20 minutes to go, and they just seemed to collapse. What happened there, Jonathan?
Yes, it very much fell apart for the final 20 minutes or so. First hour or so was pretty even, nothing really to separate the two sides. But then they conceded the first goal just after the 70th minute, I think. And, they just completely fell apart defensively, no shape, no organisation. It was a bit of a makeshift back four because Omar Richards' left-back had to go off, so that meant Chris Gunter had to go to left-back. Thiago Lory, centre-back, went to the right-back position, and Tommy Alfitt came on, who's only just recovered from a lengthy knee injury. So it was, as I say, a bit of a makeshift back four, but I don't think that's an excuse, really. It was just really shocking. They obviously had to try and get back into the game, but caught on the counter-attack, and it was sort of mistake after mistake, which led to easy chances for Ipswich, and they converted all of them. And, possibly wasn't quite a 4-0 game, but because two of the goals came in the last few minutes of stoppage time, but overall Reading were totally outplayed in that final 20 minutes and deserved to lose the game.
What's the mood there now, Jonathan? Paul Clement was very critical afterwards. I guess the concern is that's psychologically damaging, that defeat. What would you say the mood is at the moment?
Yeah, I think everyone's pretty despondent, and but the thing is, it's nothing really new this season. There's been a week after week of disappointing results and performances, and somehow they really seem to have got away with it this season, with teams being below them in the table. There's always been about five or six teams below them, and for all Reading's faults, they've somehow managed to club enough points together and keep a bit of a distance between themselves and the relegation zone. So I think from a fans' perspective, they're all pretty despondent, certainly not expecting them to get anything from Cardiff on Sunday, and myself included. And I think it'll be down to the other results, and I think it's going to have to take a pretty freak run of results for Reading to go down now. But obviously the possibility is still there, and I think everyone's just kind of keeping their fingers crossed and hoping that, say, they get over the line this Sunday and then have a real rethink of things over the summer.
Yeah, the things seemed to improve when Jaap Stam left. Was it, or from the outside looking in, things seemed to improve. Is that Is that a fair observation, or is that a little bit misleading?
Yeah, I mean, there was a slight upturn in results. I mean, certainly Clement got two wins and a draw in his first three home games. So that was vastly better from what they had before he came in. That was a run of one win in 18 under Stan, in the final months under Stan. So obviously something had to change, and this was the last opportunity given there was an international break and Clement had a bit of extra time to work with them. His first game against QPR absolutely battered them. And Reading scored, I think, with about 20 minutes to go. And even QPR had a penalty in the last minute, which they missed, which is probably a turning point in the season, really, because had they scored that, I don't think Reading would have recovered from it. But they managed to grind out the 1-0 win, and they got another win against Preston a couple of weeks later. And that gave them a bit of confidence and a bit of breathing space for the final few games. But I think it's been three defeats in four now. So they've very much limping over the line.
So,
and kind of the Ipswich game was kind of reminiscent of the bad old days of Stan, as I say, just being really disorganised at the back, mistake after mistake, no creativity going forward, and just a recipe for the disaster, really.
So just to summarise then, you don't expect much from Cardiff, but you do expect a little bit of help from maybe St Andrews or Derby or Preston, something like that.
Yes, I think so. I think certainly Bolton can't catch them because of the goal difference. So I think it realistically between Barnsley and Burton, and fortunately for Reading, they're playing against teams who need to get results as well, and like Reading as well. So I'm not expecting. I think say it's got to be a few wins for the other side, and Reading to not pick up anything as well, and obviously Burton could still affect Reading stations as well, so I think it'll be pretty tight, but I think Reading will do it, but only just.
Well, that was Jonathan Lowe from Get Reading, who's clearly pinning his hopes on the fact that Reading have enough points in the bag so far. Certainly they wouldn't want to be relying on their form, which, as we hear, they appear to have taken a bit of psychological damage with that 4-0 beating by Ipswich. Next up, we move to Barnsley, who moved out of the relegation zone with a totally unexpected 2-0 win over Brentford last time out. The Tykes are away to Derby this weekend. Let's hear from them. So I'm here with Doug O'Kane from the Barnsley Chronicle. Doug, can you cast your mind back to Saturday for us? I think everyone around the country was surprised at the fact Barnsley beat Brentford. Was it a surprise to you?
Yeah, I think that was definitely an element of surprise. Obviously, the two teams coming into the game, they've been a huge difference in form. Brentford won 4 out of 5, Barnsley won 3 in 30 going all the way back to November, and obviously there was massive pressure on them because they knew they possibly could have gone down that day if they'd lost or drawn and Bolton had won. The sort of mood in the build-up was kind of, you could tell the manager and the chief executive I spoke to a few days earlier, it kind of were very worried. They were saying all the right things, but you could tell there was a real doubt of their sort of doubts about what was going to happen with the club, and obviously it looked a really tough last two games, Brentford and Derby, to get probably 4 to 6 points to stay up. But after the first sort of 8 or 9 minutes, when Brentford were the better team and you thought, here we go again, Kiefer Moore crossed from the left, it went in the top corner, and from that moment Barnsley never really looked back. Brentford were really, really poor on the day, and Barnsley should have really scored quite a few more goals, and obviously it's now taken them out of the relegation zone and completely opened up the whole race for survival.
Yeah, well, what's the view or what's the feeling at Oakwell now then? Because as you sort of implied there, it I think everyone assumed that you guys were done and dusted, but now you're out of the relegation zone with one game to go. What are the confidence levels like?
Yeah, I think it's been a massive boost for the team. They're going to really believe in now. It's obviously a tough game, Derby away, and we sort of were there 5 years ago at Huddersfield Town when Barnsley went in a very, very similar position with loads of five or six clubs battling to stay up, and they drew 2-2. It was a crazy day, and Peterborough conceded on the last minute, and that kept Barnsley up after the goalkeeper, Luke Steele, kept the ball at his feet with neither side trying to the play for the last 3 minutes, which was controversial, but a big, big memorable moment for the club. And I would have thought it's probably going to be a similar day to that, with lots of checking your phones. Is this team winning? Is that team winning? What do Barnsley need to do? Kind of situation. And it's going to be tense. Obviously, if they go there and get a big win, or get a win at Derby, then that'll negate all of that, and they'll definitely stay up. It's a big ask, because obviously Derby are a very good team, and they need to point themselves to guarantee the place in the playoffs. So it's going to be a tense game. But yes, it's a massive confidence boost to beat in Brentford, and it's given them a sort of second life, which I think a lot of fans probably didn't think they'd have.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Hey Doug, what do you expect this weekend? I know there's so many variables at play, but how do you see it unfolding?
Tough one. I think it's really hard. I'd probably say I'm sort of 60-40 to saying that Barnsley will stay up. And I think they might get a draw at Derby, and which would possibly suit both teams. And then I can't really see both Bolton and Burton overtaking them. It is possible, but I think that'll be the case. That's the most likely thing that I can see, possibly a draw for Barnsley, and then maybe Bolton not being able to beat Forest, and probably Burton finding it hard at Preston as well. They're obviously battling for the top six, so I think possibly they all three could draw maybe, or one of them could slip up, but I think Barnsley might just get away with it. But it's, like I said, it's on a knife edge, really.
Thanks for that, Doug. Of course, Gary Rowett could do Blues a huge favour this weekend if his Derby beat Barnsley. A real test of how willing he is to do that will come if the results are going a Rams' way. How desperate will he be to beat Barnsley? Clearly, he's going to look after his own result first. Next, we get a Brewers perspective as they head to Deepdale to face Preston, who are chasing Derby for that playoff place. They do so on the back of last weekend's 2-0 win in their do-or-die encounter with Bolton. Well, I'm joined by Joshua Murray from the Burton Mail here. I guess, Josh, mood at the Pirelli Stadium is surprisingly buoyant, isn't it, after the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's funny in football how quickly things change, isn't it? Just a few weeks ago, they were battered 5-0 at home by Hull City, and that left them 7 points adrift with 4 games to go, and there was a really flat feeling around the Pirelli. Everybody was writing them off, and it looked as if, any chance of that a great escape had gone. But one win against rivals Derby from down the road just sort of changed everything, and there was a renewed belief. And as you say, it's 3 wins on the bounce now. The fans, full of belief, full of confidence. The players, the same. And whilst it's still not technically in their hands, if you'd have offered them this situation a few weeks ago or most of the time this year when they've struggled to perform at times, they'd have taken it.
Yeah, talk me through the Bolton game, Josh, briefly. It seems that Burton wanted it more than Bolton, from what I've read.
Yeah, that's certainly what Phil Parkinson said. It was sort of a bit of a cagey opening 15-20, but as soon as Burton got ahead, Hope Appan in the 28th minute, they took total control, really, which surprised me. Obviously, it was a day where Burton could have been relegated if Bolton won. Burton sort of again looked confident, and then a second goal straight after obviously gave them that bit of breathing space. Although Bolton had a little spell after half time, the Brewers were rock solid at the back, and probably should have scored more if it weren't for Ben Eich in the Bolton goal. So it was as well as they've played recently, and I suppose summed up again that sort of renewed belief and the fact that maybe they might pull this off.
Yeah, I, last time I saw you guys, there was a little bit of it was at St Andrews, just yeah. Drawn 1-1. There was a little bit of rumbling around Nigel Clough and a few Burton fans sort of questioning his position. Is that still the case, or is everyone behind him again now?
I think the general consensus is, as you say, that everybody's behind him, behind the team, and what they might be able to achieve. After the whole game, again, as I say, when they lost 5-0, there was some frustration. Burton went 7 months this year without a win at home. Obviously, that is an abysmal run in any league, really, and so there was some frustration from some fans. But I think the overall consensus has always been remembering the context, remembering where Burton are, how much they're punching above their weight. And I suppose the only way really to change any opinion is to get results, and they've done that in the last 3 weeks. Nigel Clough said before they've been close to those sorts of results for a while, and now they've actually sort of brought those through, the feeling around the club is very, very positive again, and as we say, you know, that's the way they'd want it heading into Saturday.
And how do you go to the Preston game now, Josh, with hope or expectation or trepidation?
As I'm sure, you know, all of the five teams down there, it's going to be a nervy one, isn't it? I think you'll have one eye on the pitch and the other eye sort of following the other scores. But, I mean, Nigel Clough said ahead of the Bolton game, you know, that they have always, you know, they've had to keep their feet on the ground, because some people now with the momentum they're building are saying, oh, you know, it's destined to get this great escape, but it's still technically out of their hands, so that there can be no great expectations. I think they'll go there with the same mentality they've had for the last three, saying, you know, look, we just have to keep ourselves in with a fight, and that's what they'll look to do. They'll know, obviously, that Preston have got a lot to play for as well, so it's going to be nervy on both sides. And then as the afternoon goes on and as scores sort of start drifting in from elsewhere, then they'll react accordingly. But whatever happens on Saturday, I think the feeling is they've put up a great fight from where they were a few weeks ago. You know, that game at Birmingham, as you say, that floored them, that last-minute equaliser. And they look a different side again now, so full of confidence, and that's the position they want to be in. But I suppose we'll see what happens sort of come 12:30 on Sunday.
And what do you expect, mate, on Sunday? I'm asking you an impossible question there. What do you expect to happen? How do you see the relegation picture panning out?
It's so hard to call. I mean, the result, the one that really matters for Burton, obviously, otherwise, other than their own, is Derby Barnsley. You know, because Barnsley are the team right above them who they have to sort of better their result, and obviously Derby are the team that Preston are trying to catch. If Derby can get an early lead at Pride Park and that filters through at Preston, then you think maybe, you know, that might deflate Preston a bit and equally obviously urge Burton on. So it may be that just as much as what Burton and Preston are doing themselves, it will be what's happening at Pride Park that'll affect them. And I think if that happens, Burton will really grow into it. But you know, aside the quality of Preston, they're such a strong team to break down. You feel that if they can get the early breakthrough, and, you know, the Brewers are just going to have to go hell for leather.
Listening to Josh there, it makes you grateful for the fact Blues have their destiny in their own hands. It would be utterly deflating to put in a great performance and get the result only to learn that it counted for nothing. That's the situation Bolton are in as well. And we hear from the Macron Stadium where the feeling is considerably less upbeat. Bolton fans remonstrated with Phil Parkinson after their Burton defeat. But having seen Birmingham City produce a Macron miracle a few years ago, they're hopeful for one of their own. Right, so I'm joined by Mark Isles, the Bolton Wanderers correspondent at the Bolton News. Hi, Mark. Thanks for joining us. Can you run through last Saturday? I think everyone from the outside looking in viewed that as a pivotal, potentially decisive fixture. Is that the way you view it now?
It certainly feels that way, Brian, to be honest. I think the way that the Bolton totally capitulated at Burton just had a smack of a relegated club. Obviously, Bolton needs part, though, but that isn't the case, and that the other teams can do them favours on the final day of the season. But I think the way that they played there was quite unexpected, really. The one thing they haven't lacked under Phil Parkinson is character, and that was a performance of very little character. You know, Burton, all credit to them for the way they went about it. They bullied Bolton off the park, and not in a bad way. They were stronger, they were first to everything. And from a Bolton perspective, it was a very worrying sign.
You've lost six of your last seven, am I right in saying that? What you seemed well set 2 months ago. What's happened since then?
Genuinely, you know, people are really struggling to put, you know, one particular quality on it, because after beating Aston Villa 1-0 before the international break, I think everybody thought, you know, maybe a couple of wins and they're over the line. It certainly hasn't turned out that way. They haven't looked close to winning a game. They struggled for goals. They only scored 3 in 7 games. You know, they completely deflated. Now, you can't point to one thing. I think, you know, the manager is obviously getting flack because of selection issues. That's always the case, I think, when teams lose games. You can look at the ownership and say, did they invest enough in the playing staff, and probably say no. There's been a couple of sort of in-house things as well, that you know, messages that have been put out by the club that have been perhaps a bit ill-judged. There's a mixture of things, but ultimately the players have just not performed, and I think they shoulder a great weight of responsibility.
Can you make a case for picking up 3 points this Sunday?
Well, it's football, isn't it? And football has a strange habit of surprising people. I remember sitting with one of your predecessors and talking about a Birmingham game at Bolton Wanderers a few years back, and And him saying there's absolutely no chance whatsoever the Blues are staying up. You know, it was all doom and gloom, and yet, you know, an incredible afternoon at the Macron that day. And, you know, Birmingham managed to survive by the skin of the teeth. Cadiz with that famous late goal. So, hey, you know, anything can happen in football. You know, final days have a strange way of creating strange results. So I think from a Bolton perspective, it's just hoping it's one of those magical days.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here now, Mark. What do you expect to happen across the division this Sunday?
I think from a Bolton perspective, I don't think they should expect favours. I do actually genuinely fancy them to beat Nottingham Forest, and that's not going to be putting a positive hat on. You know, I just hope they can get favours elsewhere. I don't think they can expect them. I think the way that Burton played the other day, I don't think they look like they're going to lose that particular game. You know, whether Birmingham gets sucked into it, I very much doubt it. I think possibly we're looking at Barnsley maybe getting dragged in and Bolton, you know, maybe going with them. But I hope it's not the case. But I do fear that Burton maybe would be the ones that sneak out of it.
And that was Mark Isles from the Bolton News. Thanks to Mark for that. Turning to Birmingham City, it's a very difficult balance for how they approach this game. Obviously, Fulham are dangerous, but they've got a live fixture themselves as well. They will be mindful of what's happening at Cardiff, who they'll be trying to pit for automatic promotion. I think the way Blues approach this game is going to be dictated by the fact that the match is a sellout. The club have opened areas of the stadium that have been effectively mothballed for 3 years. That, to me, demands a positive approach from Blues. The fact Fulham also probably have to win to have any chance of going up automatically might help Blues too. If they have to attack, that will hopefully leave gaps for them to exploit. But obviously, the presence of players like Sessegnon, Mitrovic and Kearney is a huge concern. As regards how I see it going on Saturday, on Sunday, I would never back against a full St Andrews and a motivated City, Birmingham City team. As long as the players aren't fearful and passive, I would expect them to get a result. I think a point would effectively secure guarantee safety, because it's difficult for me to envisage Burton and Barnsley both winning away from home against playoff hopefuls. It wouldn't surprise me at all, though, if Bolton do beat Nottingham Forest. Well, that's everything from this edition of Blue Noise. Thank you for your attention. Thank you to our contributors for giving up their time as well. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you found it informative and not too worrying. And we'll know next time we're back on Blue Noise next week exactly what has happened this weekend. Whatever it is that has happened, I'm sure you don't need me to remind you to keep right on.